Welcome to the Empty Nest Kitchen, where we're finding fun in the kitchen now that the kids have flown the coop. I'm Christine Van Bloom, a cooking teacher with over 25 years of experience, here to show you tips, tricks, and joy in your kitchen, all while trying something new. Let's get cooking.
Well, hey there. I am here with someone super fun today. I am so excited. I have got Marion Horniak from The Kitchenette in downtown Frederick, Maryland.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Hey, Marion, how are you?
I'm well, Christine. How are you?
Oh, I'm so good. All right. Now, I pronounced your name in a very Maryland fashion. What is the correct pronunciation?
Well, so I'm from Puerto Rico.
Oh.
And yeah, my name is Marien. There's an accent over the E. When I got to the U.S., for college, I tried to get everybody to say Marien, and many people could not.
Yes.
So it just kind of got anglicized into Marien, and I'll respond to either.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I am just going to keep going with Marien, if that's okay with you.
That is fine.
Excellent. Because we've known each other for a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Marien owns the cutest, and when I say the cutest, I'm not exaggerating, the cutest little kitchen shop in downtown Frederick, and I can't go in because every time I go in, I'm like, oh, I need all of these new spatulas.
Yeah.
Right? So, Marion, what made you open a kitchen shop?
That's a good question. My background is not in kitchens or cooking or anything so related. I have a bachelor's degree in athletic training and fitness, and I have a master's degree in sports management.
Okay, that's the opposite of food.
Exactly.
That's the opposite of working in anything related to food.
Right, right. So I worked in the fitness industry for many years, and then I had kids, and I stayed home with my kids, and I needed to make money while I stayed home with my kids. So I was a Tupperware consultant.
Oh.
And I sold Tupperware for 14 years. And then I worked while doing Tupperware, I worked for Frederick County Public School. I was a bilingual liaison at the high school level, helping Hispanic families connect with faculty and staff.
So cool.
And so that it was a grant funded position and the grant ran out.
Yeah.
So when the money ran out, it was like, what am I going to do with myself? And my husband and I always loved downtown. We always wanted to open some kind of business.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of asked my friend, I was like, what is there a need for in downtown Frederick? And, you know, people said, gave me random ideas, and somebody said a kitchen shop. And I'm like, I could do a kitchen shop because I'd never done retail. So I didn't want to deal with sizes like clothing or shoes because I didn't know, you know, what size people are and what to carry.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't want to do anything dealing with the health department or things that expire or... I figured kitchen things would be the easiest because I knew the Tupperware thing. I knew bowls and, you know, spoons, and I like to cook and bake, and I just kind of winged it.
Marion, you seriously sound like John Cusack in that movie Say Anything, where he's like, I don't want to buy anything. I don't want to sell anything.
Right.
I don't want to buy anything, bought or sold or sell anything, sold or bought.
Yeah.
And that's so funny how you came to it. Well, how do you decide? Because I'm a gadget girl. Like, I love the gadgets, but I am really judicious in, like, what I bring into the kitchen because I just have so much darn stuff. How do you decide what you're going to bring into your shop? Like, what's going to be the cool thing?
Well, because I had no idea what I was doing, my initial inventory consisted of things that I wanted in my kitchen.
Okay.
And then I quickly realized that it's not about me. It's about everybody else and what everybody else is going to buy. For example, I did not have any measuring spoons in my kitchen shop when I first opened my doors.
Really?
Because I have the same set of Tupperware measuring spoons that I've had for 20 years. And I just assumed that everybody has measuring spoons. Why would you need to buy more? On sale. So many measuring spoons, because, you know, the teaspoon falls into the garbage disposal and then the tablespoon gets long.
Yeah.
And, you know, and of course, everybody should have at least two sets.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the narrow set and then the regular round set. So I now have four different kinds of measuring spoons.
You have to. And I believe it or not, I am super particular about my measuring spoons. I only like the narrow set. I like the kind of oval. I I don't know why. I just prefer that over all others. And I like them to be really heavy. I like them to be really well made. Like those little plastic ones. I hate those.
No.
But I love when they're kind of heavy and really good metal. It's so funny. We can talk about measuring spoons and measuring cups all day long.
Oh, that could be a whole other podcast.
So you figured out that you had to know what your customers really wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
some of them were very esoteric and they would ask for the most random things.
Like
and then I would carry the most. Well, before the pandemic, one person asked me for a proofing basket.
Oh.
And I was like, I didn't even know what a proofing basket was. Like, I don't bake bread. I eat bread, but I've never made bread. And I was like, okay. I call my rep and I said, what is a proofing basket? Where do I find one? Do I need to carry one? And he said, that's very esoteric. I would wait on that. And then the whole sourdough thing, and in fact, I'm out of stock right now, but we have the round and we have the oval and, you know, you have to figure out what the trends are. When I first opened, it was the zoodling, the spiralizing vegetable. So I had to carry three different kinds of spiralizers, and now they're all just kind of sitting there because everybody figured out you can just buy them already pre-done.
Well, yeah.
So you have to, and we go to the Houseworth convention every year and we find out what's new and what's great and the latest and greatest.
Is that the one in Chicago?
Yeah.
My dad used to be a housewares buyer for a now defunct department store chain up in Pennsylvania. And he would go to Chicago for the show and always bring something back for my mom. Mm-hmm. I remember him bringing those glass pots. I think they were called Visions. I mean, this was the 80s. This was a long time ago. But I think I would go crazy if I went to the houseware show.
It's fun. It's exhausting, but it is really, really fun. You do it. You have, the hardest thing is knowing that you have a budget and you can't buy everything.
Okay.
And you have limited space. So it's like, I can't buy, 7,000 Scrub Daddies because I don't have any place to put that. So
that's awesome. All right. So what are some of your biggest sellers? Like, what are the things that, aside from the proofing baskets, what are the things that you have to keep ordering them?
Let's see. There's the new fangled microfiber towel, not the old-fashioned microfiber that gets stuck in your fingers and feels funny and nobody really likes the texture of. These are new. They're made of recycled water bottles, and they're all the rage. I don't know if I'm allowed to mention brands, but I
can totally mention brands.
The geometry towel.
Oh, yeah. I have a geometry towel.
Do you love it?
Yeah, I do like it.
It dries well.
It does dry well. It does. I'm going to sound ridiculous again. I'm really particular about my dish towels too.
Mm-hmm.
But you are too, aren't you?
I am.
Because you get exposed to all these different things. So, a flour sack towel is good for this, and a terry cloth towel is okay for this.
Right.
And those geometry towels are really cool.
Yeah, they're good for drying your dishes.
Yeah.
So when everybody's buying them. So, yeah, those, and, the Get It Right spatulas, you can't go wrong with those.
What are those?
Everybody, the ones that you like, silicone one.
And they're called Get It Right?
That's the brand, G-I-R.
G-I-R. Okay, well, so if you are listening to this, you have to know that these stupid spatulas, I am in love with, because I remember, 150 years ago when they introduced the silicone spatula on the wooden handle, right? And then you would pull off the wooden handle at some point and it would be black and kind of gross. And those spatulas are so great because they were the first ones that you didn't melt, right? When you were cooking your eggs, because how many times have you melted a spatula? Because I've done it. And then they've come out now with like these all-in-one piece spatulas. So are they coated in silicone? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they are, oh my gosh. I went in, I bought every size Marion had.
Yeah.
I did because I was like, this is what I want. Because you don't have to worry about any of that funk with the wooden handle or the wooden handle getting, frayed, but you know, starting to splinter.
Yes.
Yeah. Because
well, we have a few restaurant owners in downtown Frederick who come in. That's the only thing they will use.
Oh, it's because they're so good. And I'm telling you,
don't get in your hand.
Don't buy one. Buy them all. Like, really.
Yes.
Just buy them all. Toss what you've got. The thing, I would like a bigger one. Because I bought everyone. I would like one that's the next size up.
The mega size.
The mega spatula.
I will mention that.
I would like a bigger one. But I also love the little tiny one because I never thought about it. But as an empty nester, and you're an empty nester, right? Yeah. So quantities have gone way down for us.
Right.
And I always saw these like cute little spatulas and whisks and stuff. I was like, that's ridiculous. And now I'm like, oh, look, it gets my mustard. Oh, it does this.
Exactly.
And I love it so much.
Yes. I love the mini one because it gets into the beater of your KitchenAid mixer.
Yes.
It's there. Yeah.
All right. What else? Yeah. What else is flying off the shelves right now?
Honestly, I just started carrying gummy mold, like for gummy bears and gummy. They're selling out every time I order them.
Really? Like people are making
gummy bears. I got you.
Okay. Are they making like special gummy bears?
I don't ask.
All right.
I don't ask.
Okay.
You got the $10. I'll sell it to you. I don't care what you do with it.
And right there. That is why I love Marianne. If you were like, Marianne, I love your glasses. She'd be like, these are awesome. You should totally buy these from me. So So what's on the horizon for kitchen stuff, for kitchen tools?
More sustainable item.
Yeah.
You know, they're getting rid of all the Teflon things that cause you cancer. And now everything is more ceramic coated and just a lot of alternative coatings and surfaces for cooking that aren't going to kill you.
Well, I'm a fan of that. Let me see.
Right? Yeah.
So I love that. What else? Like, what's a new thing you're carrying? What's something new and cool?
I just brought in the Silpat kind of liners.
Yeah.
The silicone.
Yeah.
So King Arthur Flour makes them for your loaf pan, which is a life changer because you know how you can't get the first slice of meatloaf out of the. So that I took one home and I tried it out and it was great because you just lift it up like a little elevator and your bread comes right out.
And it's reusable.
And it is reusable, yeah.
Oh, see.
And we sell them in packs of two and I really only needed one. So my daughter's getting one for her birthday package that we're mailing out today.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's so good. Yeah. That's so cool. I just took a class up there at King Arthur. And when you go, you know, they have a lot of mixes and things like that. So I try to avoid buying those things. But they have a new mixer that I saw because I know you don't carry the big stuff like the KitchenAid mixers, right?
The electric, I don't.
No, I just think that's smart. But KitchenAid, they changed something within the internal workings of the machine. And it used to be metal, and now it's plastic, and now the
mixers—they're
not holding up as well.
Oh,
so
I've had mine for 24 years.
Oh, I've had mine. Okay, what year did I go to culinary school? 95. So okay. I've had mine for 29 years, you know. And I have some that I had when I owned the cooking school. But as I'm teaching all of these online classes, I was thinking, I really need to have the one that the people I'm teaching will have. Right? Because you want to mirror what's going on in their own home kitchens and they're not going to have the commercial model of the KitchenAid. And now I'm always worried about it. But King Arthur had one, I forget the name of it, like Gerstum or something like it. It was something crazy. And my goodness, it was a pricey guy. I was looking at it and I was like, ooh, that's a sexy mixer right there. I love that. Love that. That's so cool. Yeah. I've got to come in and get one of those loaf pans. Are they different sizes for different loaf pans? Or do you have...
Right now, they just have the regular
like
size.
9 by 5?
But it's funny because... It's funny because as an empty nester, you know, I only needed one.
Yeah.
And it was a pack of two. And then I realized all the things that I'm now sending to my daughter because, you know, she's off on her own. And it's like, you would love one of these. Or, she would love to have one of these. So I... You know, things that I no longer need because I'm only cooking for two.
How are you finding, because I know you love to cook. How are you finding the switching because you have two kids, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you find going from cooking for four to cooking for two? Oh,
well, now we have leftovers.
I think a lot of people end up doing that, right?
And yes. And then, you know, my husband is like, hey, can you cook a little less so we don't have so many leftovers?
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to eat healthy. Yeah. And but, you know, you go to Costco or Sam's Club and you buy the big giant thing of ground turkey that we used to divide into three. And right. Now we divide it into four or five. So it's just a matter of portioning things out a little less.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's a tricky thing I'm finding for a lot of people. I feel really comfortable with it now because mm-hmm. at the beginning, because my kids have been grown and flown for a couple of years. I think Anna graduated college like 3 years ago. So I feel really much more comfortable. And I use a ton of frozen fish. And I know right. I can feel somebody trying to take my chef card away right now because
oh,
I
no.
like, frozen fish. But I got to tell you, if yeah. it is just you or you and someone else, do you like fish?
I do.
I love fish. Does your husband like yeah. fish?
He's getting there.
I just find it thaws so quickly. It's yeah. individually packaged. I have become a stupid air fryer addict, especially yeah. when it gets hot out, because I right. don't have the basket one. I don't like those. I have one mm. that has like two racks in it.
Okay.
And I love it. I can do a whole meal for the two right. of us and not heat up the entire kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we do a lot of fish. I mean, because you know I'm a big Jose Andres fan.
I know you are.
We just went to restaurant number 8 last week.
Oh, you did? Okay. Where?
Yeah. We went to China Chiricano down in D.C.
Nice.
So it's the like, Chinese and Peruvian. So every time I go there, I get octopus because my husband doesn't like octopus.
I love pulpo, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love octopus. I think Jose Andres, and you say it because it sounds so much cooler pronounced correctly.
Jose Andres.
Yes. I seriously think that man should be up for sainthood. I just think he's so super cool, you know. And
yeah, he was up for a Nobel Peace Prize a couple of years ago.
Was he?
Yeah, he was.
He should've.
Right after Hurricane Maria and all the things that they did in Puerto Rico for Hurricane Maria.
Yeah.
And it's funny because he came to Frederick after that.
Yes. Yes.
Did you see him when he came to do his book tour thing?
I didn't get to because there was a snowstorm, I think. Like something.
Because I got to go and he was at the Weinberg Center and I got to go. And then he was wrapping up his presentation and I stood up like a crazy woman. I stood up and I waved my Puerto Rican flag. And I was like, I just have one question. And so I told him, I asked him, what do I do when a customer comes in and says they don't cook? Because I do get that a lot, which to me
that's
is unfathomable.
So funny.
And he said, tell them to try a new recipe. And if it doesn't come out right, tell them to change the name of the recipe.
Perfect. This is perfect advice.
Yes.
I love
there you go.
I love it. People get hung up, I think, on a recipe. And it's got to be exactly right every time. And I do this thing. I used to teach a lot of kids and teenagers, and they would get really knotted up when they would make a mistake, right? They, my goodness, they were such perfectionists, bless their little hearts. And yeah. I whipped out my calculator one day. I'm like, okay, you're going to live to be 100, and the first 2 years don't really count, so that's 98. There are 365 days in a year, and then you're going to eat 3 meals a day. That's 107,000 meals in your lifetime. Mm-hmm. If you mess one up, nobody cares. If you mess 1,000 up, nobody cares. You're fine.
Yeah.
You know, don't worry
about
that. But people come into your kitchen shop and they don't cook.
Yeah.
There must be a little desire there, though, if they're walking into your shop.
I don't know. They walk in with somebody else.
Okay.
Or they're walking in for air conditioning or they just, you know, it's too cold out and they just want to walk around.
Yeah.
I don't cook. And I don't get that because you have to eat, right?
You do have to eat.
And there's only so much takeout you can get. So I don't know.
I get so bored and tired of the takeout, right?
Yeah.
And I don't want to go out every night. I don't.
No.
You know, that's just not, I just like to be in a cozy house.
Yeah. Right? But there are certain things I won't cook.
Like?
And I reserve those things for eating out.
Octopus.
Like, well, if I could, yeah. But honestly, I don't make a good lasagna, and that's okay.
It is okay.
I just don't make a good lasagna. It is what it is. Like, I'm trying. I do make a good skillet lasagna on the stove with my cast iron skillet. But a regular 13 by 9 lasagna, no, can't do it. And that's fine, because when we go out, my husband will order lasagna and it's fine.
That's lasagna's not your thing.
It's just not my thing.
That's not
in creme brulee. I'm blind. I can't be trusted with open flame. So I'll let somebody else make the creme brulee for me. Best creme brulee I ever had was at 200 Monroe, made by, the FCC student.
And FCC is our local community college here. So they have a stunning kitchen at the community college. It's so crazy. That is a great program.
Yeah.
I go every year
to their restaurant.
Well, we love it. So great. Okay. So Marion, you just brought up that you're blind. And yeah. I know that you do some TikToks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Yeah. The Blind Kitchen Lady. I started during the pandemic, like everybody else did. It was June of 2020. And I thought, it is time to educate people on blindness, because blindness is not just, Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles. Blindness comes in a wide spectrum of vision abilities. In fact, most blind people do have some remaining sight or can see shadows and light. And I found that it's time to educate the public on blindness. And I've gotten quite a following. I have over 15,000 followers.
Wow.
And my followers went through the whole process with me for getting my guide dog. And it's been interesting.
Oh, that's so cool. Do they ask you questions ever?
They do. I've posted a lot of, questions with answers. And then a lot more blind people have joined TikTok. So we've built quite a nice little community for blind people from all over the country.
Marion, that's so cool. What's the number one question you're asked?
And the people who aren't aware that blindness can come in such a wide range is, well, how do you read the comment? Or, how do you, because on my video, like yesterday, for example, my dog and I were walking home and I saw this woman in a pink dress. And I made a video about it. It was the quinceañera. So it was like the poofiest, pinkest dress. And she was taking up the entire sidewalk. It was just like a cloud of cotton candy coming at me. And so I did a little video about it, because, my dog was like, oh my gosh, there's this big cloud of pink. What am I supposed to do? So, the dog had to go around her. And so, people are like, well, how did you know it was a pink dress if you can't see anything? Or how can you read the comments if you can't see anything? So questions like that, or people asking about my vision, how much I can see, and things like that.
That's so cool that you are doing that. Yeah, I would think if a big pink cloud of fluff was coming, toward you, that's something. And then I know also you're like super athlete.
I'm old now. Talking first. I went running this morning and I was like, oh, everything hurts.
Do you don't go running with the dog, do you?
No, I only run in Baker Park because I have the route memorized.
Okay.
And I run early in the morning and don't try not to run into people.
Yeah. So.
But when I ran marathons, I trained with my husband and I did four marathons and he did the last three with me.
Four marathons. I did one marathon, and I kid you not, I crossed the finish line. Cute Marine took the thing off my shoe, the tracker thing off shoe, and I've not run another step since. And that was
Marine Corps twice.
20 years ago. You did. Marine Corps is good because it's fun. It was good for me as a non-runner who was like, I need to check this off my list. But if you've done it,
that's a good first marathon. Yeah. If you want to do one marathon in your life, I would do Marine Corps.
Yeah. I like that you said first. I would like to replace that with only.
Oh,
yeah. Only. So what are the.
That's a good one. And people are out cheering you. And
yeah. It was not too long. It was, I guess, 2003. So a million years ago. And when we ran by the Pentagon, because people were still super sensitive coming off of 2001. There were soldiers on top of the overpasses with very large guns. And it was, it was a moment kind of thinking about it just as I was going. I don't know. It was cool.
Yeah. I did that one twice. And then I did Vegas. And then I did St. Louis. And that was my last one.
Vegas.
Did you know Vegas was on a hill?
No.
Vegas has a slight incline for 26 miles. Oh. It was awful.
What time of year?
Well, because I thought it was December. It was record cold. Okay. And we start at the Vegas sign, which if you've never seen the Vegas sign, it is underwhelmingly small.
Really?
Yeah. It's a tiny little sign. And it's like, oh, okay. So then we go up and down the strip. And I'm like, okay, great. This will be great. You go up and down the strip. And then the other, that was the half marathon. If you wanted to do the full marathon, you had to leave the strip and go through the town. And I thought, oh, well, how bad could it be? There would be like a church and a post office and a school. No. Desert.
Desert.
Desert for 13 miles.
Oh, no.
No. It was bad.
No, not my thing.
We had to finish because we were stuck in the desert.
Because
we had no choice.
All right. So how did you fuel up for your marathons?
I don't remember.
Because
I
was like,
I remember bananas and balls.
I have to eat all the pasta. Because I think that's a very like 90s, 2000s kind of thing.
The carbo loading.
Yeah. Because I have been carbo loading for like 20 some years now. Just not running any races to go with it. So, what do you cook on a regular weeknight?
Last night I made a cranberry chicken.
Nice.
Which is, chicken with a cranberry sauce and a packet of onion soup mixed and some Catalina dressing and the crock pot kind of thing. Tonight we're having a Rachel Ray recipe, which is it's a meatball pizza. Mondays are my days to cook like a real lengthy, time-consuming meal. I'll make a quiche or, something a little more involved. It's my one day off.
Is the shop closed or is someone else in there?
We're closed on Monday.
Nice.
It's my day to do laundry and groceries and podcasts. And
yeah. And you're open. So you're open 6 days a week.
Yeah.
During all the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
7 days a week during the holidays.
Yeah. What do you like about being downtown, in a downtown area?
I like the cohesiveness of it. We all work together. We're all, I call it the sandbox. We all have to play nicely in the sandbox. We all have our different personalities, but we still work well together. If you come into my shop and you ask me, where can I find the nice piece of pottery, I'll tell you where to go. Who has the best chocolate? I'll tell you where to go. Where can I go for lunch? So we send people to each other and we help each other out and just be part of a community. Because when you own your own business and you're stuck in your little shop all day long, it can be kind of isolating.
It can.
So it's nice to have, the downtown partnership and our different committees and just colleagues that you can see on a regular basis and just collaborate with.
That's so great. And Marianne is about to become the board president for the Downtown Frederick Partnership. And listen, I just can't cheerlead enough for Downtown Frederick, Maryland. And I don't care where you're listening from. If you are in this neck of the woods at some point, or if you're making a trip to D.C., we are just an hour from D.C., and it's a pretty straight shot. And I got to tell you, it is a special place where we live.
It is. And if you have friends, let's say you live in Pennsylvania and your friends are in Virginia and somebody else in Delaware or in New Jersey, Frederick is the perfect place to meet in the middle.
Yeah.
A lot of people do that. They all come from Ohio, and then the Aunt Susie from New York, and then your cousin Steve from, Virginia. And they all each pick Frederick as a central location to meet. And it's wonderful. Two compliments that meant the most to me. One lady said, I love coming to Frederick because it's like a Hallmark movie.
It is like a Hallmark movie. Yes. It is.
And then somebody else said, it's always sunny in downtown Frederick.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, shucks.
Oh, shucks. That's nice. It is. I think it is such a special place. And I think the board is pretty darn lucky. I mean, it's a great board. I actually worked with the board when I was at the partnership. And I have to tell you, it's a fantastic board, really good people, and the mission is great. I love it. I want everybody to come to downtown Frederick.
Yeah, and buy kitchen things.
And buy kitchen things, and buy all the kitchen things. So that's amazing. All right, let me finish up with this. I want to ask you, do you see cool trends? I know you said you've got the more sustainable stuff coming in. But is there anything kind of cool or kind of funky that's coming out? Not the gummy bear molds, not the sustainability stuff. Because your shop is packed with all sorts of fun things. I mean, you've got all sorts of fun things in there. what's something, if I'm coming in, what should I be looking for?
There is a brand called Dream Farm.
Okay.
And they focus on solving problems, basically. My favorite product in the whole entire shop is the Dream Farm silicone spoon. But they make items that are everyday gadgets. They just make them a little better. They kind of go above and beyond. Their new citrus squeezer is a game changer.
Really?
It's all over TikTok. It's all over social media. You know, the traditional, it's got the handle.
Yeah.
And you put the lemon upside down and you squeeze it.
Yeah.
And this one, you know, turns your lemon inside out. This one has two handles. You put the lemon in the middle and it has two handles. You have more leverage. You get way more juice out of your lemon. It collects the seeds on the bottom. Any product by Dream Farm is amazing. They have new corn holders that go on the end of your corn and they lock in place, so they're not going to slide out. Just a lot of innovative products that solve a lot of problems. And everyone's like, why didn't I think of this before? Why didn't I think of a product like this? So hopefully more product to help with common problems that kind of go above and beyond your typical gadget.
Well, now I love the idea. I'm going to have to come down and see that citrus squeezer.
Yeah.
Because I want every drop out of those puppies.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's awesome. Marion, I'm just so grateful that you took the time to do this with me.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, you're a sweetheart.
Thank you for making empty nesting cool.
Awesome. I gotta tell you, I've been like, you know, I just feel this invisibility, right, that wraps around us as we are aging. Then we spend all this time with the kids and we're so invested, right?
Right.
And your kids are cool. I think my kids are kind of cool. I mean, they're ours. So, of course, we think they're cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, but then everybody just forgets about us and forgets about what we're doing. And I gotta tell you, empty nest women. The coolest, like just the coolest. I have been meeting wonderful, cool, interesting people that are doing fun things. And I love it. So I want to have a platform for it.
There you go.
That
works. People ask me, they're like, oh, was it bad to become an empty nester? And I'm like, No.
I was reading a comment online and it wasn't on any of my stuff. But I was reading a comment online and the woman, you could tell she was just devastated and she was flying solo and she had moved towns. And I think that's really hard.
Yeah. You know? That is hard.
So my thing is try to find connection however you can, right? However you can find it, whether it's meeting the cool kitchen shop lady, blind kitchen lady, or, you know, whatever. Like for me, I love to do the online classes. I'd love to teach them as much as take them or go somewhere. I just think it's about the connection.
Important. It is very important. One of the things I do is I make meals for people at church who, are either recovering from surgery or whatever. And it's an important connection. Like someday somebody might have to cook me a meal, because I'm sick or I had a surgery or whatever. And those connections are important to have.
They are. I think we need to remember that it's not always easy and that you do have to put a little work in sometimes. Right?
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Marion, you're a doll.
I'll stop.
No, stop. I'll stop. So you are fantastic. I'm so grateful. Everybody, thank you so much for listening today. I hope that if you are in Frederick, you will stop by and say big ol' hello to Marion and check out her geometry towels and her crazy Dream Farm citrus squeezer. She is on top of all the cool trends that are happening, but also based in having those really great everyday items that you've got to have. And make
Measuring
sure you
spoons.
Get the elongated spoons when you go and shop, because those are the better ones. So.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, everyone. And I will see you in the kitchen.